Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel passage seems appropriate this time of year, the question of fraternal correction. If someone who is a Christian doesn't believe what Christ has revealed and what Christ has taught through his church and continues to teach through the Holy Spirit, then as St. Paul says, Christian charity demands, not suggests, not thinks it's a good idea, but demand that that person be presented with the truth in all charity, to give them, if you will, the facts. Now that sounds all fine and good, and it is. The difficulty today, and we all know it, we live in a world in which the truth seems to be up for grabs. Now, the Holy Father has called it the age of relativism. Truth is what you want it to be. It got so bad that I believe it was in 1990 a Supreme Court decision came down in which a justice, who I think was writing for the majority, said everyone has a right to basically determine their own reality. Well, holy Moses, I can determine my own reality? That's a pretty nice life. The difficulty is if your reality doesn't unite to the truth, it's not going to be very real for very long. This is not going to work. But that's what begins to happen. You hear it in the political season, the spin. What is the truth here? Even when you have the facts presented to you, you still don't happen to believe it, which I find to be rather ridiculous, but it happens to be the case. It doesn't matter if it's in a realm of morality in terms of ethics, pro-life issues, or issues regarding social justice issues, or whatever the case may be, simply issues of Catholic doctrine. Is Jesus Christ the Son of God or not? That is not open for discussion. Well, I want to believe he isn't. I want to believe he is. Well, if you don't think he is, isn't, go find yourself another church, because this church happens to say it is. And for 2,000 years, we've been saying it. Truth has become a very, very loose commodity, and it becomes a very burdensome thing to help people grasp. But one of the things, philosophically speaking, human beings can know the truth. We can know it. Doesn't mean we necessarily like it. Doesn't necessarily mean we're going to agree with it all the time. But we can know it. And if we know it, then we can exercise our brain and recognize that the truth constitutes for us, it makes up for us, reality. Well, things are. And this is what the Lord is talking to the disciples about. If someone believes something other than what the truth is, then they are heading for destruction. They are heading for the loss of their soul. They are heading for a lot of problems. And so out of charity, it's an obligation of one who believes to know that truth, and to offer fraternal correction, but at the same time offering that fraternal correction, recognizing it's not my truth either. Now, I've been teaching theology now for 16 years, and 9 of those have been to seminarians. And that doesn't necessarily mean every time I walk into the classroom, I'm not going to mix something up. I might mix up the name of a theologian, or I might mix up a name of a heresy, or I might mix up a name of something because I have a habit of doing that. And so I would expect that my students, if they're awake, that's always a big if, but if they're awake, they would say, Father, you got those two mixed up. That's fraternal correction. Because I don't claim to have the source of all reality. Who has that? Jesus Christ has it. And all of us have to learn to serve that truth, to serve Christ. The difficulty comes in is basically this. We as human beings, as St. Peter said last week, we want to measure the truth ourselves. We want to measure it. Does it fit with what I think? Does it fit with what I want? Does it fit with how it's going to help me be successful? Does it fit to help me achieve what I want to achieve? And if the answer to any of those is no, then we assume it's not the truth, and we search for another. That's what got Peter in trouble. Because what the Lord says is that we do not measure the truth. The truth measures us. And we can say the same thing about the faith. We do not measure the faith. The faith measures us. The faith has been around for 2,000 years. The faith stands on the shoulders of many holy men and women over that time who have given their life for that faith and have professed it and have discussed it and have argued about it. And over the course of those years have developed for us a whole core of teaching about what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a Catholic. And it's a great gift to have that. But it's a gift that we hold very perilously because we like to be the ones doing the measuring. Just think about ourselves. We like to be able to correct somebody, but how well do we like being corrected? I learned that the hard way. One thing I learned when I used to go into the junior high when I was an associate and I'd play Trivial Pursuit catechism games with the kids, and I would never always remember the rules. I would just kind of, I'd forget part of the rules. They remembered the rules. They knew those rules like they were tattooed on their brain, and they had no problem letting Father know he was changing the rules. I was. I didn't. I'm just playing along. I wasn't taking all this seriously, but they were taking it seriously. And it tells us children take the truth very seriously. They want to know what is. And so in this very confusing world in which we live, we hear a lot of people saying different things. We have educators and whole educational systems promoting different things that are not Christian. And yet they're being told that this is true. And yet somehow the Catholic faith needs to say no. We've been around longer, and we can tell you that that isn't the truth. That the truth resides in the faith in Jesus Christ. That truth resides in God Himself, who has revealed to us that mystery and shows it to us every day and says, if we live that truth, it may be hard, there may be crosses, but that truth will lead us to heaven. That truth will keep us firmly grounded in reality. And anything less, will get us into a lot of trouble. And so the Lord goes on today to be very clear. You present the truth. If that truth is denied by one, you continue to add the evidence to the point where if they still don't accept it, you treat them as if he says they were a Gentile or a tax collector. They're no longer a part of that church. They can say they are up and down till the cows come home. But when you measure what they say against the truth of the reality, they have basically created their own faith and their own church. And honestly and truthfully, we have to make the conclusion that the church didn't leave them. They left the church. And that's not just a problem for people in public office. That's a problem for all of us. So we continue to measure things and say, this doesn't work. I can cut this back. That's not the case. Christ didn't die for our version of the truth. He died for the truth, which is that we have sinned, that we have denied God, and that we have brought upon ourselves eternal loss. And for that reason, Jesus Christ gave himself fully for us. If that wasn't the truth, he surely wasted 3 hours on a cross, not to mention 33 years of his life, not to mention the 2,000 years of the church, not to mention the 7 sacraments, most especially the sacrament of his body and blood, in which that truth comes to us face to face, every time you receive it. And so we begin to see the overwhelming evidence through faith and through history of these truths of our faith. And for that to continue to build, the Lord tells us the second half in this gospel. If two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it will be granted them by my heavenly Father. We Christians often know a lot about prayer, and we often try to pray, but it's been my experience the church's ministers have not given the best direction on how to pray. Haven't been real good at it. And one of the things I've been working on within my own life as a priest is helping to get people focused on what prayer is. How prayer is an offering of one's heart and soul to God every day. Prayer is letting God measure our heart to see what we need and how we can grow in holiness. And recognizing within that prayer there is only conversation with the Lord, the sharing of our hearts, of our fears, of our dreams, of our sufferings, all of that with the Lord. Besides that, there is an entire treasury of religious devotions that we have. And one of the best devotions we don't recognize about devotion is this. Devotion continues what happens here. When we leave this church, we just don't go off to Bob Evans or La Rosa's or the Golden Lamb. We leave here and we must continue that faith on. And devotion is continuing that faith on. Whether it's devotion to the Mother of God to ask her to show us her Son, whether it's devotion to the Holy Spirit to ask us to enlighten us, whatever the case may be. And that same devotion we carry with us every day so that when we come back to celebrate the Eucharist, we prepare ourselves again to enter into this great gift of God's love and mercy. So we begin to see the truth is there. We need to pray that the truth becomes only evident to others, but more evident to us. Because the clearer it becomes to us, the more firmly we'll be able to defend it, and the more confidently we'll be able to live it. So as we receive the body and blood of the Lord today, let us thank him for the grace of this mystery of the truth. And let us pray that we have the courage not only to be able to bring others to that truth, but also to let others correct us, to make us know the right path, and to keep us on that path when we want to stray to another way.